All right. You know, my first wife and I traveled many parts of the world. We spent several years in the part of the world that is mostly Muslim. And so we got to know a little bit about the Muslim faith. God has been very, very kind to all of us. In that, and many people do just take it for granted. I'm excited, and literally a little excited every morning that I come into the church and I see that the Bible is gone from the blessing box. We have had hundreds of Bibles go out, sometimes two Bibles a day, where people will stop at the blessing box, get food that they can eat or that they need, and they will also take the Bible. Now, I think it is because they are concerned about us being in the last times. They don't know why, and they can't put any definite data to it, but they just feel it, that they are in the last times, and they want information about the last times. And so this book that God has given us as Christians is a great gift. It's second to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in this book, we find out who God is, what God's relationship is to mankind, and what God expects from us. Now, it's all written here. I don't believe there's anybody sitting in this room who has kept all of this book. That's why we needed Jesus Christ, and why we still need him daily sometimes, is that we might want to go, as John told us in his first epistle, you know, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So we are the only, we are the only entity, I don't want to use the word church or the word religion, that has God's word as our guide. And so the word is very, very important to us. We may not realize how important. It's not like the different books that some of the other founders of religions. Muhammad wrote the Quran in about 75, and the Quran is nothing but a bunch of lies and speculation on who God is and what he is. So we have a book that actually tells us specifically who God is. God does not want to keep himself secret from his children, just like no father should want to keep himself secret from his children. They should be able to know him and love him and know what he expects of them. So for the next couple of Sunday nights, we're going to look at the Word of God, and then the third Sunday night we'll be starting our revival services here, and then we'll be meeting in the auditorium. So tonight we're going to begin a look at the Word of God. In the beginning, we are told by John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What that is telling us is that God lives in eternity, and the Word was there with him when the worlds and everything were created. Now, we don't understand that. We have finite minds. I cannot fully comprehend eternity. There is eternity past. There is eternity future. And God lives in both. And the Word has existed throughout eternity. We are told that in the very first sentence that John wrote in the Gospel of John, when he said, in the beginning was the Word. Now that means that before there was anything else except God, the Word of God existed. Now we know As you read, as you go through your Bible and you look and you start a book, and the first thing you do is read a little bit about the book and an introduction to the book of who wrote it and when that was written. Some of this was written long after the creation, especially the New Testament. Much of the Old Testament was written not right after the creation, but it was written by Moses. The first five books, the Pentateuch, was written by Moses. And God, through his Holy Spirit, revealed to Moses how he did that. How did Moses know, what happened in the Garden of Eden? How did he know what happened during the days of Noah and the various, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? How did Moses know all that? He was given that by God. We believe, as Baptists, we believe that this book was inspired entirely by the Holy Spirit. And that would explain how the Word could have been in the beginning. And then as time passed, God had portions of it written by various people to us. To us. This was not written to our next door neighbor. This book we call God's Word was written to us. And that is why God can speak out of his Word to our hearts if we let him. If we just read the Bible and nothing happens, we're really not reading the Bible. God wants to speak to us through his Word. So God lives in eternity. His experiences total time as a single entity in his life. Time is something that Jesus Christ created when he created the world and he created all the animals and everything. He also created the laws, such as gravity and other things. And he also permitted part of the Word to be written along through time. Time was an entity that he created. We all live in time. That's why we cannot comprehend truly eternity, because eternity has no time. Eternity is, from our standpoint, is just instantaneous. And so that's why it's so difficult to understand eternity from the standpoint of we live in time and everything that we do is associated with time. It takes time to get from here to the door. In eternity, it's a snap of the fingers and we're at the door. And so there's a lot of things that we do not understand. We will one day understand them because one day we will be like Jesus Christ. We will see him as he is and we will be like him. But for the time being, there's that word again. For the time being, we live in time and we have to deal with it. So, God to God, everything is sort of timeless. It's been that way from the very beginning. And in the medium of time, a lot of what God wanted us to have had not been written yet. He was waiting for the right, and he knew. I do not understand God's omniscience. I can give you a lot of words. Omniscience, omnipresence. Omniscience means all-knowing. God knows everything from the beginning to the end. And God is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. And yet, we know that the place for God right now and for Jesus Christ is in heaven. Heaven is standing, Jesus is standing before the throne of God, making intercession for you and you and you and me. He's making intercession for all of us. He knows what dumb things we're going to do tomorrow morning. And so he wants to help us to help us where we do dumb things and we get into trouble. He wants to help us out of that trouble. But he wants us to also learn from that trouble. And so that is one of the reasons that he has given us his word, so we can learn. There was a time when I owned a black Arabian gilding. And that horse had a mind of its own. When I first got it, the day they delivered it to the farm that I grew up on, I put him in a box stall. And I hadn't told my father that I had bought a horse. And I was trying to think of how I could tell him. And so he was sitting in the living room, and I walked in and said, "Oh, by the way, I bought a horse." He said, "You did what?" And I said, "Yeah, come on out to the barn. Let's see him." So we walked out to the barn. And when we walked into that section of the barn where the horse was in the box stall, he had kicked the box stall all to pieces. And he was running around in that section of the barn, loose. And when we walked in, he laid his ears back, and he went after my father. He was going to bite him. That's one of the defenses horses have. They will bite you. And they've got big teeth. And so I managed to get between him and my father, and my father got out of the barn because he didn't want anything to do with that horse. And I picked up a piece of the box stall that was laying on the floor. It was about that long. And I hit that horse between the eyes with that piece, with that board. He had some respect for me after that. God has to do that with us sometimes. And he uses difficulties, troubles, problems to get our attention, because you and I, most of the time, cannot handle our own problems. And we call out to God, "Oh God, help me." Even when it's our stupidity that put us there. So God has given us his word. And he has dealt with almost everything that I've ever run across somewhere in his word. That's why we're supposed to read the Bible through at least once a year. Because the more often we read it, and somebody was talking about memorizing music, was it? Memorizing something. Yeah, we sing a song over and over enough that we seem to get it imprinted in our mind. Well, we need to do the same thing with God's word. And as we do that, certain sections of it will be able to use in our lives. And so he has given us this information, and it connects Jesus with the word. What John was saying here: in the beginning was the word. It was not written, but it existed. And the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus Christ is the personification of this book. That's why we want to read it. We'll learn more about Jesus all the time. Now, the next two verses in John, the Gospel of John, the next two verses, we are told that the Word, and that would be Jesus Christ, was the Creator, and that he was also the life of men. We are told in the book of Ezekiel that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4 tells us, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." So Jesus was crucified so that sinners could live again and have eternal life through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we are told in this book. The Old Testament, we are seeing a type of Christ in the sacrifices. We are seeing a type of Christ in various personnel that are mentioned. On Wednesday nights, we're going to start studying the book of Daniel. And he was a type of Christ. And there are several types of Christ showing us a little bit here and a little bit there of who Jesus was and what he actually did. So his shed blood bought us, purchased us from the devil. People, we were all the devil's children. I don't care what you think of yourself or how good you think you are. We were the devil's children. And Jesus Christ bought us because he loved us enough. God loved us. And remember, Jesus Christ and God, they're the same person. Just different personalities or different aspects to show us. Our mind won't comprehend who God is. And so he showed us little bits and pieces here and there to show us. Most of us know that God's word is something very special. And that is what we want to look at this evening. It's not God's intention to keep secrets from his children. So he has blessed us with something special. And as we read through the Bible, first we have the information about creation. And it's true. 24-hour days is what we believe. Then a short history of mankind as he rebelled against the Creator, God. Then God chose one person and one people to be his chosen people. And that was Abraham and his posterity. That became the Jewish nation, the people who are living in Israel right now. And so that he chose that. And then it was through that family that God promised Abraham a Messiah, that he would be a blessing to many people. Little by little, the written word was given us through the Holy Spirit. And today, the Holy Spirit is the one who is ministering here on earth to us as God. Jesus is not here right now. Jesus is in heaven making intercession. But the Holy Spirit of God is here. He is living in our hearts if we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Now, it doesn't mean that if you've prayed a prayer that you're necessarily saved. When we think of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That has to take place. Just praying a prayer, going up and shaking the pastor's hand does not get a person saved. They have to believe in their heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead as a part of his purchasing us from the devil. And so that's why this book is so special. It tells us all these things. This is not me telling you something. This is God speaking to our hearts as we read through different parts of the word. And so, like I said, most of the word is very special. And so as we read through the scriptures, there's a history of God's people and God's relationship with man. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, God tells us the purpose for giving us this book. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would look at that for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now, God is telling us the truth. He always tells us the truth. But he is giving us information that we need to hide in our hearts and keep it there so that we will remember. All scripture, everything written in the Bible, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. It's the principles we find in the word. For reproof. There are times when I need reproof. There are times when you need reproof that you have done something erroneous or something you should not have done. Or most of the time, it's you haven't done something you should have done. I find that most of my sins are sins of omission. The Bible says if this happens, here's what you're supposed to do, and I don't do it. For many reasons, well, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. and or something of that nature. And so we're told it is profitable for reproof, for correction, put us back on the right path, for instruction in righteousness. You want to be righteous? The word will tell you how you can be righteous. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. And so it is important that we understand that the word is inspired, and it was inspired by God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is the power that operates in this world today for God. He is in you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is there to provide, first of all, counsel. He is there to provide guidance. He is there to provide power, God's power, in your life as a witness. You and I were out at the fair passing out gospel tracts, and we were witnessing. I was trying to witness to some of those people and tell them how important this was. That was the Holy Spirit working through me, and He will work through you to do the same thing. When someone tells me, well, I don't know how to lead somebody to the Lord, yes, you do. You came to the Lord yourself. Just tell them what happened. Tell them you did it. You did it by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So God tells us in His Word that the Bible is something very, very special. Now, this book that we call the Bible, or the Word of God, is much, much more than just a book. It's God's way of speaking to us in this life and in this world. The words that are on the pages of this book, this is a living book. Now, I heard that when I first heard that when I was in Bible college, and heard it again in seminary, about the Bible being a living book. It is a living book. It is a book that will take you through any situation you are in life. It took that. Well, there's a lot of different people have experienced different crises of one sort or another, trying to serve the Lord, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes. God has given us specific instructions and commands that we're to follow if we're going to obey Him and please Him. If we violate what God has told us to do, or we refrain from doing what He has told us to do in His Word, we are sinning against God. And you may run up on people and say, well, I've never sinned, or I don't sin. Well, they just did when they told me that, okay? They lied. But so we all are going to have to deal with sin. And sometimes God is going to have to pick up the proverbial 2x4 and smack us between the eyes. And sometimes, if you have a thick head like I do, He has to smack you more than once. But He will do whatever He needs to do, because there's another verse in Romans 8:28. Who can tell me what that verse says? Romans 8:28. Somebody say it out loud so that everybody can hear.
I was going to say, you might as well start us.
Huh?
You might start us first.
And we know? We know that all things
work together
for good. To those who believe.
For two kinds of people, got to be both. To them who love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. We know that all things, no matter what it is. And so that can be a great encouragement to all of us. Why am I going through this? Why did they just tell me I've got cancer? Or why did they just tell me, you know, that I've got this or that? Or all things work together for good. Now that's God speaking to our hearts. He's going to do what is best for you. He is never going to do something to hurt you. That's not what that verse says. God is going to work everything together. Doesn't mean everything's good. There are bad things that happen to people in the world. But overall life, these things are going to work together to make you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to know that. Now, this is much, much more in a book, and it's not like a newspaper or a magazine or a novel of some sort, or even a documentary. It has all of those things combined in it, but this book is unique. This book is God speaking to mankind. Whether you know him or not, if you're reading the Bible, God is speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit may take some of these verses. I've seen him do it. You quote a verse and someone sitting in the congregation, they hear it. And you think, well, we didn't accomplish anything today. And maybe weeks or months later, they will come back and say, you said such and such, quoting the Bible. And it has been bothering me ever since then. And you'll find out that the person got saved. When we pass out gospel tracts, when we passed them out at the fair, I don't know, we gave out over 6,000 gospel tracts. Over 6,000 people. Every one of them told a person how they could get saved. So how do we know what's going on with those gospel tracts? Many of them got thrown away, I'm sure. Some of them got read. And if the Holy Spirit, God has said his word will not return to him void, it will accomplish the purpose that he sent it forth. And we have that as a promise from God. And so we're talking about his word right now, the word of God. Now tonight and possibly next week, we'll lay out and examine some of the things that God has given as instructions to please him. So let's start off with one of the things that Jesus told us about God's word. Luke 4, 3 and 4. Luke 4, 3 and 4. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. By every word of God. This is the word of God. This is what we're supposed to live by. Christians are different than the rest of the world. We're supposed to live by this book. So I hope you understand that being a Christian is more than just being a member of some social club or organization. It is a philosophy of life, or a way of life that is predicated upon the written word of God. And when churches have problems or people have problems, it's because they have violated the word of God. That is what causes the problems. And so we need this word. We need to make it a part of our life. Now, one of the things, it is a philosophy, that's one of the things we want to examine and learn about tonight. And in the days, months, and years to come, if God gives us that kind of time. First of all, we are to glorify God. That is our purpose for being here. That's a purpose for every church. I don't care if it's the Lutheran church across the street or the Catholic church on down Dorchester Road. The purpose for every church is to glorify God. No other purpose. No other purpose. Our main purpose is to glorify God by our actions and by the things that we do. And those are all things that are here in God's word. So, Christians have a special relationship with God, our Creator, through his word. This is what we want to examine and learn about tonight. And the word of God is a living book in which God is communicating with his children. If you are a child of God tonight, this is God's communication with you. if you read it every morning, God is going to speak to your heart. Now, you may not like to hear some of the things he says, because there are things in our lives that could be better. So, today there are many translations of the original writings. This book that we preach out of and memorize out of is called the King James Version. King James in 1611 authorized the translation from the original scriptures, what they could find of them, to be a written Bible that his people could understand. And that's what he did. Now, I have a King James 1611 sitting on my shelf. You could not read it.
It's in Hebrew, probably.
No. Now, the King James is in English, but it's the old English, it's the old alphabet. And some of the letters are different in the words, and some of the words are different. And some of them are, you can't understand them at all because you're not used to them. So what we have, this has been revised and revised and revised, and today is a modern day King James 1611. So there are many translations, and a few of the translations, it's important what translation you're reading out of, because only a few of the translations are good. King James is a good one. There are others, the American Standard or the New English Standard, but there are others more than the good ones are the bad translations that are translated by people who do not love the Lord, but they have a purpose, a motive, and an agenda in their translation to make the Bible say what they want, how they want to live. And so there are books, translations, that are not good. Once in a while, because of the situation, we might have to use a translation, or you might have to use a translation that is different than the King James, and maybe not as good as the King James. I had a prison ministry out in Texas for a number of years at Lagovia State Prison there outside of Edinburgh. And I would go over there, and the men could not understand the King James. Now, people will tell you, and you will hear people say this, that the King James is written at a fifth grade level. That is not true. So the men could not understand it, so I had to go to a different translation, one that I do not like and I do not use. Except for in that case, I had to. I went to the NIV. Now, what's wrong with the NIV? Some of the translations of words. When we get into Isaiah chapter 14, verse 7, where it tells us that, behold, in the King James, it says, a virgin will conceive and bring forth a child. In the NIV, it says, a young woman will conceive. There's a big difference between a virgin and a young woman. Mm-hmm. And so there are differences, but we are using the King James, and that is a good book. That's a good one to use. So we use this. So that everybody will be on the same page. When I quote a scripture tonight, you can look in your Bible in front of you and read that verse. And any time that you are sitting in a preaching meeting and a pastor or a preacher gives you a verse, look up the verse to see if they are preaching the truth in the Word. Because sometimes there are men who do not preach the Word. And so it's important. This Bible to us is a guidebook, and it's one we should check all the time. If you're driving down Dorchester Road and you're doing 90 miles an hour along with the rest of the people, and a cop stops you, can you tell him, Well, I didn't know what the speed limit was along here. No, you're supposed to know that. And the same thing with God and our relationship with God. You are supposed to know what that relationship is. And you will only know that if you read your Bible. Then you can't use the excuse, well, I didn't know that. Now, the reason that we read the Bible is something that God has said in His Word through one of His apostles, James. In James 1:22, it says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only." And then the next phrase is very important. Deceiving your own selves. To not be doers of the word, we are deceiving not you, we're deceiving ourselves. And that's the worst person in the world to deceive. We should never deceive ourselves. It's like lying to yourself. And you know what kind of results you'll get from something like that. So when we deceive ourselves, we get the same thing. If we hide the word of God in our hearts, we will not be deceived by others, and we will not deceive our own selves by listening to our own wicked hearts. If we listen to God's word, we'll have a different way of life from the rest of the world. The Bible is to guide us and provide a way of life that is pleasing to God. It will convict our consciences when our actions don't comply with God's word. If we do something or start to do something, and this is not, God's word says no, we will be convicted in our conscience because the Holy Spirit is there. And we'll know it's wrong. Unfortunately, many times we go ahead and do it anyway. And I give you the example of if I am hungry for a sweet, I'm diabetic, I'm not supposed to eat sweets. If I'm hungry for something sweet, and somebody puts a jelly donut in front of me and says, "Here, let's just fellowship," I'm just liable to eat that jelly donut, knowing that I should not. We do that with God's word all the time. God's word tells us there are things we should not do. There are things we should do. And we don't do them, or we do them. Now, Luke gives us a kind of history of how God's word changed the members of the early church. He tells us about how the first deacons came to be elected and what a difference it made in the church. Listen to what Luke tells us in chapter 6 of Acts, verse 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." They got saved. Read about it for yourself in Acts chapter 6, and you'll see that the word of God increased because the pastors were not having to wait on tables and take care of the people of the church. The deacons were doing that. And the pastor decided to look out men who were deacons, who were of good report. And we have in God's word the description of what a pastor is supposed to be and what a deacon is supposed to be. So as people began to hear about the word of God being preached to others, they became curious. And they wanted to hear the word for themselves. Acts 13, verses 6 and 7 tells us that when they had gone to the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. And this Bar-Jesus tried to stop him from hearing the word of God because he knew he belonged to the devil, and he knew the word of God would have an effect on Sergius Paulus, a good effect. He'd get born again. Later on in that same city, Paul and Barnabas were preaching the word of God, and it caused others to want to hear it. Acts 13, 42 and 44 through 44. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles, that would be us, besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They said, hey, we heard a little bit there. We wanted to hear that. Would you come back next Sunday and preach the same thing to us? And this is verse 43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Can you imagine something like that taking place today, where crowds would gather like they used to with Billy Graham and D.L. Moody and some of these other evangelists, as they would reach out and speak to thousands at a time? The Word of God is powerful, and it can change people. It has changed you, whether you realize it or not. Did it change you? I hope so. The Word of God is able to spur revival in the hearts of plain people, like you, like me. Men like D.L. Moody, Billy Graham have preached the Word, and thousands have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We don't hear about that today. There are hundreds, and perhaps getting close to thousands, in some of these countries. Right now they're experiencing a revival in India. Michael Privet's involved in that. And so there, people are being converted in Hindu and what's the other one? Buddhist countries. Hindu and Buddhist countries, and even in a few Muslim countries are being converted, even now. And so revivals are still taking place. We just don't see it in the United States. We have too much stuff. That's our problem. We have too much stuff. So the Word of God is powerful and can change people. The Word of God is able to spur revival in the hearts of people like you and me. That brings us to our attention to a problem that might be dealt with from time to time after people get saved or think they have gotten saved. They stop obeying portions of the teaching of God's Word and what we get from God, and it causes a problem in the church. We are getting ready to consider merging with First Love Baptist Church and Coastal Shores Baptist Church. I believe it's a move that God would have us to make, because it will make us both churches stronger. It will make both churches able to do more, working together. But you know what? There's someone who does not want that to happen. The devil is real, folks, and he's going to do everything he can to interrupt that possible merger. He's going to stir up trouble within each church. There'll be trouble here. There'll be trouble in the other church. That's to distract us from doing what God wants. He has done that all of our lives. We used to belong to him, remember? Till the night or the day we got on our knees and said, "Dear Jesus, forgive me." And we repented of our sin. And so we have to do that again. We have to go back and repent when we know we have sinned. So when people stop obeying the Bible or start doing the things that the Word of God teaches us not to do, then we must attempt to correct the error by pointing out what the Word says about certain activities. There will be one of two responses on the part of Christians. Let's use a verse of Scripture to explain one of the responses. 2 Corinthians 7:10. 2 Corinthians 7:10. This tells us what should take place. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Let me read that again. For godly sorrow takes place in our hearts, worketh repentance, we turn away from what we've been doing, to salvation, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be repented of. No reason to repent of that. That's a wonderful thing. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. As a person who is violating God's word, here's the word. They might respond by becoming sorry for their violation of God's word, and they might repent. Or they might rebel more and try to involve others in their error. So we have to be on the lookout for that, people, as members of our churches. Sin is like a cancer that can spread through a church and destroy the unity of the Lord in that place. The devil is always ready to do all that he can to disrupt a church when it's accomplishing something for the Lord, something wonderful for the Lord. When most people think about a brother or sister getting involved in sin, they're normally thinking of something that the brother or sister is doing that the Lord has told us not to do. That is a problem for churches. It's not the same as not doing what God has told us to do. We are to go to a person. If someone offends us, we're supposed to go to them and solve it, resolve it. Either ask for forgiveness or work out the problem so that both are in agreement. That is what is supposed to take place in all churches. That's what God has said in his word. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 15, you read about that, what you're supposed to do to an offense. But there are people who will not do that. Their pride keeps them from doing it. And their pride is hurting the church. And so we have to be careful, people, that we watch very carefully right now, because this is an important time for First Love, and it's an important time for Coastal Shores. We are trying to do what we believe God wants us to do that will give us strength. Will give us strength. And it will. So, let's see what we can do. We need to go. If somebody offends you, you go to them and you tell them, hey, you offended me by saying this or doing that. And see if you can't get it resolved. Now, I find the Bible interesting as it impacts different parts of our society. As Christians, we need to always reverence and obey what we are told in God's word. In the parable of the sower, we are told that the seed is the word of God. Let's look at various reactions to the word. Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which is fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So there are different responses to the word. You can go up to somebody and say, well, the Bible says, you know, you need to be saved. And I say, what's the matter with you? You know. But the first response is to permit the devil to steal the word out of their hearts. They heard the word, but they were not saved. And the next response was that they rejoice over the word, but they had no foundation with God, and the seed withered and died before Spirit could use it to bring forth conviction and new birth. they were not really saved either. The third group, so entrenched in the world that they couldn't give up the things that they had, and so they could not yield themselves to Jesus as their Savior. And there was only one group who could submit their souls to Jesus. Pastors are many times concerned about some of the people that they share the Word of God with. We can't see people's hearts. You can't either. We can't know their motives. We cannot know whether they're really saved or not. Only God knows that. And God is the one who has to save them. You can't. And so all you can do is what we did. Pass out the word and let God take care of it after that. So we can give the word, but we cannot change hearts. The Apostle Paul set an example for each of us to follow the Lord leading in his ministry to the people. What communication have you had regarding the Word of God? Let me share Paul's experience. Acts 18:9-11. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night, and by a vision, God told him, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city," and he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Paul spent 1.5 years in that city, preaching and teaching the word of God. So wherever you are, wherever God has put you, speak the word. Speak the word. Paul spent 1.5 years, and we must spend whatever time the Lord gives us in the place where he has put us. It's such a wonderful thing to see the Word of God change people's hearts. I don't know if you've ever seen that or had the joy of seeing that, the privilege of seeing that, and see their lives changed when suddenly that light comes on and you can see it in their eyes. They suddenly understand what you've been talking about. They suddenly understand who Jesus is, and they accept him as their personal Savior. There's nothing as exciting as sharing the Word of God and with people. And that's what I want to continue to do with the time that God gives me. And so I want to spend every day that the Lord gives me sharing the Word. Next week, we'll look at some other aspects of the Word. Father, we do love you for the way you have loved us. You first loved us. And so, Father, as we serve you, as we are your children, help us, Father, to be children who love our Father, children who obey our Father. And, Father, if we do things that are of offense to you, help us to repent, help us to make things right, and then, Father, use us to glorify yourself, and we will praise you for what you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.